WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program here on Thursday morning. You can call in at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We were talking about the earlier in the program, at the top of the program, we were talking about the city council's decision on parking. That this was in the ordinance meeting, so it still has to go before the full council. But the problem here is that there's an ordinance requiring there to be two parking spaces for every new residential dwelling in the city. And so the developers are saying we can't build if we have to stick to that requirement, because there's not enough space in some of these areas to provide that kind of parking. And we don't need it because, you know, we're building single bedroom units or studio units, and there's not going to be two people living in there that have two vehicles or what have you. So as I was saying earlier, I can kind of see it both ways. I'm in support of saying we need to pull that back in order to get this development moving. But also I see the concerns of, but what happens if people do have two vehicles and now they're going to take up parking from other areas and from other residents? As someone who experiences that where I live, I'm sympathetic to it. So we can talk more about that. We were also talking about Powerball. Now it's going to be up to $1.5 billion on Saturday. What does happen if you win? Well, take the annuity. And when you get the annuity, your first check would be, and this is for a $1 billion jackpot, so it's gone up since I ran it, but $18 million. Not a bad way to start. And also, we can talk about President Trump's speech to the nation last night. As I said earlier, a lot of falsehoods, a lot of inaccurate information, a lot of gaslighting. So, I mean, more than anything, you know, you're experiencing it. You're out there every day. Affordability is an issue. So for somebody to stand there and tell you, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I just wish he would have come out and said, listen, we know that things still aren't great, but we're working. Here's what we've done that's going to start to make this better. Here's what we're going to do. And you may not be feeling it now, but you'll feel it. And maybe in 2026, you'll start to feel it more. And maybe in 2026, we can put in some more of these new things and then lay out what they have in mind. But to stand there and gaslight you and tell you it's not bad when it is, to tell you that inflation is down when it isn't, I just think that that's a tone-deaf approach as you're heading into, you know, a year that's going to be very important with the midterm elections. You want to make sure that you are, you know, making people, and that was what this was intended to do, was to make people feel better about where things are going and to say, you know what, I will continue to support the Republicans because I want to continue to see this agenda keep moving forward. But you can't do it by telling everybody that things are great when they know that they're not. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Spooky. Can I change the topics completely?
Yes, yes, you can.
I wake up with you or I don't wake up with you, one or the other, so sometimes I don't know what I'm hearing. Did I hear this week that somebody talked about Mark Twain and you said that you visited his house and it was, haunted?
Yes. So a couple of years ago, A couple of years ago, I went to the Mark Twain House to do... Actually, we were the first people they let come in to do a ghost hunting event there. And it was very successful, so much so that they said, okay, thanks, we'll call you again. And then they just took it over and did it themselves. But it is a very active location. There is a lot of stuff that's going on there.
Was there anything with Twain himself or his spirit or anything?
So I can't say that for sure, but what I can tell you is that... So I was in one of the office buildings. So we had some things that were going in there because it's kind of a campus. It's not just the house itself. There's a building with an auditorium and all kinds. It's a really cool place. But then in the main house, the people who were in the main house, they were definitely experiencing a presence, but it wasn't anything that was like saying who it was or that they had any reason to believe that it was Mark Twain.
Okay, then. I've always been interested in Twain, you know, especially his connection with Fairhaven and stuff like that.
Have you ever been to his house?
No.
So they do tours and they do programs. It's really cool. It's a great place worth a visit. It's in Hartford, so it is a little bit of a ride. But while you're there, you can get some New Haven pizza on your way.
Well, I saw a program on it one time on Channel 2, and, you know, it showed the inside of the house and everything and, you know, different spots of it. What it got me about was that I look at a lot of the buildings in Fairhaven, like the high school and the town hall and everything, and it seems like, I don't know, the architecture is the same. No?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar. I
know he was friendly with Henry Huddleston Rogers, so I often wonder if they use the same architect or anything like that, too. I think Fairhaven loses out. Nobody wants to do it, I guess, but to bring the Twain connection into Fairhaven, like they could do a thing where, you know, they would do bring in somebody who imitated him and did readings and stuff like that, they do with Herman Melville. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I know a guy named Mark Dwidziak who is he's an author and he plays Mark Twain. And he does a great Mark Twain. I'm sure that if a group wanted to bring him in, he'd be happy to come here and do it.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But that's something that Fairhaven would have to want to do. And again, it would be similar to the Herman Melville reading of Moby Dick. It could do some readings from this.
We need somebody to play Henry Rogers, too.
Well,
and then we can get Irene to come and play Hetty Green. We can have the three of them all together.
Oh, wait a minute. No. All right, Spooky, thanks for the information.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
And let's take some more calls here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. I'm going to change the subject again. I'm going to kind of venture outward a little bit, kind of. Have your opinions, whatever opinion you had on the shooting at Brown University, has that evolved with the news that's been coming out? It seems like every day, twice a day, they're coming out with press conferences.
Yeah, but there's no real news. There's no real news that's come out in those press conferences.
Right. But we get a picture of a person who's all covered up, so you can't see if it's a male or female.
I think they're pretty certain that it's a male. But other than that, yeah, no real defining characteristics outside of the rough idea, the rough approximation of the size and the walk.
Right. I'm going to say my opinion on it has shifted slightly in that I don't have faith in they're telling us the complete truth. I feel like somebody's hiding a puzzle piece in their pocket, and that's the crucial puzzle piece, you know, to finish the puzzle. But, I mean, I'm just sitting here on the couch, you know what I mean? So... they know a lot of things that I don't know, but I'm really like, what did the shooter say in the classroom before he started shooting? Why don't they come out with that if they know, you know, things like that? It seems like they're just missing. They're not coming clean on what they know. Because if they yell, you know, if the shooter yelled Allahu Akbar or whatever, that lends to motivation, so then they can kind of narrow down. Then they have something to go on as they're looking for somebody, instead of saying, well, yeah, if you know, if somebody looks like they might have killed somebody, then, you know, yeah, let us know. But there's no identifying information that they're giving out.
Did any of the witnesses say that he said anything?
Yes.
And what did the witnesses say? Because they've been interviewing witnesses. I've seen people talking to people who were there.
They're saying some people had said that he said Allahu Akbar.
I mean, I haven't seen anybody claim that.
No, but either way, okay. I'll play devil's advocate here. If he said something else, what did he say that may be a motivating factor in why this shooting happened? And that might tell if it was a targeted attack, because we've heard the mayor say everything's fine. You know, everybody's safe. Don't worry about it. Then that would lend to the idea that it was a targeted attack. You know what I mean?
I think that in any investigation, they're not going to tell you everything they know. Even if they're telling you everything that they know, they're going to hold a little bit of information back so that if somebody does come forward with information, they can then use that as something corroborating. You know, like that happens all the time with, murderers. When a murder happens, they'll hold back certain details so that when they catch somebody, they know that detail that wasn't put out in the public. They know this is the person. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't some things that are being held back for that particular reason. But if that person said something and that thing that they said would help identify them, I think that they would release that information, because then it would show, you know, that would add another descriptor into the person that they're looking for.
Right, exactly. I mean, what are you looking for? They won't say who they're looking for. You know, and nobody's going to come up. Well, maybe 5 years from now, somebody's going to come out and say, well, yeah, I did that, but I got away with it. Ha, ha, ha. Okay, that's not helping right now. What are they? That's why I say, if they want the public's help, give us some information to go on. Give the people of Providence some information to go on. If they know it, and screw being sensitive. If it was a person looked like this or looked like this, give some identifying information that people can go on. So, you know, if they want help, help us help you.
And maybe, you know, maybe they don't want help. Maybe this is all a calculated effort that puts the pressure on the person that they know who it is, but they can't find them. And they think that doing this will flush them out.
Maybe, but after hearing what, and this is kind of why I've lost trust in the Brown University policies, even Providence police. I mean, the office people, not the guys on the ground, not the officers on the ground, because they're just following orders generally. You know what I mean? But I feel like Brown University, I heard this a few days ago, and Tim Dunn actually wrote an article about it, or brought the article out about Brown's policy on not identifying people for fear of offending in that class, or ethnicity,
but
or whatever.
What difference does that make? Brown University doesn't have jurisdiction over this.
They don't, but it happened on their campus, and
yeah, but that doesn't matter.
They have that rule,
it doesn't matter. It's just people trying to make a big deal out of something that isn't a big deal. Who's in charge of the FBI?
The FBI is they're following the coattails of the local police.
But you don't think that the FBI would identify that? You don't think that they would put that out there if they had that information, or the Providence police, who both supersede Brown University in this?
Right.
It doesn't matter what Brown's policy is. It doesn't matter.
Right. I would like to think that the FBI would be on the up and up, but even when they. And I feel bad for that kid that drove over here from Wisconsin, had nothing to do with anything, but they were so proud they got the right guy and they put out all his information. That's kind of screwed up, you know?
Yeah, very messed up. Now, but also, you know, there are going to be situations where that happens, but you don't have to. Certainly, you don't have to stop the investigation because you still need that evidence. The fact that they just stopped looking for things after that was, I thought, was very surprising.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, everybody can breathe a breath of fresh air because it's done. It's over with, everybody. And like I said, with the mayor coming out and saying that, yeah, everybody's safe, there's nothing to worry about, that lends to the idea that it was a targeted attack.
Or that they do have a little bit more information that they're not giving.
Right, exactly, because they don't want to offend people or they don't want to cause panic
I would tend to think that if they have information they're not releasing, it's more because that's information that can help them catch this person, and so they're not broadcasting those details. That's just based on, you know, the law enforcement that I've dealt with. I got to hold you there because I got some other calls to get to, but thank you so much.
All right, good morning.
And let's take another one here, and I'll try to get through both of these before I got to go to a break. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
So it's refreshing that people like myself care less about politics. They care about Mark Twain and Brown, which is good. But, you know, in regards to the speech last night, whether the facts are this, that, or the other, the bottom line is if Trump wants this country to do well, he wants people to have more money in their pocket. He wants to create more jobs. He wants to have energy independence. Right. He wants to help out in the world stage. Well, the opposite of that is a Democrat. So I would hate to be a Democrat right now because all the things he said last night, you're hoping don't happen. You're hoping the economy doesn't get better. You're hoping people don't get more money in their pocket because that's how you're going to potentially win an election. So if the country does good, that's bad for the Democrats. That's such a horrible position to put yourself in. And that's exactly how the Democrats have done things right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily true for everybody. I'm sure you have a few that are saying, like, you know, we can't let this happen on someone else's watch because this is our whole platform. But I think overall, if you can get everybody back to a place where they feel comfortable with the economy more than anything, then that makes it easier for some of the other differences to help people make their decisions. So I think, you know, it's a lot easier, say, if you're trying to fight for health care for everybody, to do that if everybody feels like they can pay their bills from their next paycheck.
Well, and again, health care is a perfect example. I mean, what's happening now is broken, and it is 100% Obamacare came on, you signed up, you got horrible coverage. It was so bad they had to subsidize it. And so there's no way that you can possibly fix that. You got to start new. And so you have to have a debate or a discussion about, okay, how can we improve on what or fix what's wrong? And it's not by adding more subsidies and you know, continuing that on. There's just no way. Healthcare is a separate debate from the economy. So are we going to do the economy and then the healthcare? I know they're tied together when you're paying for benefits, but for right now, I feel like they want healthcare on the left. They want healthcare to continue to cause pain and suffering for people so that they can say they're going to fix it. Well, they already tried to, not tried to fix it. They put Obamacare in place. They put a horrible, expensive, poor coverage in a situation in place, and we're supposed to trust them.
By the same token, I don't really trust the Republicans to repeal that and have something better when they've had all this opportunity to do so and haven't.
Of course, and I don't disagree with that, because what you have in front of you is you know, government saying, hey, we'll fix health care, and it's worse than it ever was, and that was by government involvement, right? So maybe by giving people their own money and going into a free market and purchasing and being able to, you know, negotiate, maybe that's a better way.
I mean, that sounds to me like we're not going to make sure that you have health care anymore and you're on your own. So that just sounds like what we had before we had the ACA.
Yeah, but again, you know, the facts that are in front of us right now is things aren't working. They never really address the main issue. And by buying healthcare, you just put money in the pockets of the insurance companies. And then you let insurance companies like Aetna own a pharmacy benefit manager like Caremark. And oh, by the way, then a CVS. So they own pharmacies, they own a pharmacy benefit manager, and then they also own an insurance company. That, to me, that is collusion to the nth degree. So, you know, the reform necessarily doesn't have to be, I think it has to start with the insurance. It has to start there, right? It has to start with a free market system, not paying insurance companies by saying you got to sign up for this insurance pick a plan, and then they get to do whatever they want with the money, i.e. poor coverage, et cetera. So I don't know. I just, based on the feedback from last night's speech, listening to CNN and so forth, they're betting on this country. They're betting on this. The left is. The economy continues to get worse, that people have less and less to pay, and that groceries go up, et cetera. So that's the only way I feel that the left thinks that they can win, and that is by betting on the country doing poorly.
Well, I think it's I think it's also a matter of they know that the plans that are in place and that what Donald Trump is doing isn't going to help. So you can bet on that when you know that that's the eventual outcome anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you could go down that road too, or you could give a little bit more time, to the process. If, like, say we're building more chips here in this country, we're investing, and I'm not the biggest, hugest fan of AI. I think it has its applications, but by bringing dollars and cents and putting into that industry, it's just like before the internet, right? Nobody liked the internet. What's that? You know what I mean? That wasn't all that long ago, and look what it's done for the world in general. So maybe AI will have the same. So there's investments there. They're trying to bring manufacturers. You keep illegals out so that Americans can do those jobs. You don't spend wasted money. We see in this state on illegals, right, whether it's housing, et cetera. That all drives up costs. So I think we're going in the right direction. I think Trump said he was going to fix things in, less than a year. I think that was a little, that was a stretch. I think he's going to need at least, a term or, he's not going to have, a second, but, at least enough time. But the midterms are coming. And if things don't go well and the Dems get a hold of the House and maybe the Senate, we're going to be right back to the gridlock before. We're going to go right back to electric, no energy, climate issues. We got to give more away. Let's let illegals in. Let's pay for their health care, housing, et cetera. And I think that would be really, really bad. And I think he needs more than 2 years.
All right. I'll hold you there. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And I think, the caller and I are both in agreement that it's not, no matter how good these policies may be, it's not going to get fixed before November. But that's when the clock is running. So the race is kind of on. 508-996-0500. Let me take one more, and then we'll go to the break in the news. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Can I change the subject to a happier little note?
You sure can.
You were talking about records yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I just wonder how many people around here might have this album that I'm holding in my hand. It's called Lip, L-I-P-P, by request, by Stan Lip.
I think
it has a whole pardon me?
I have a copy of that.
Do you have it?
Mm-hmm.
I've never talked to anyone else that has this, and I've had it for years and years. And like I said, when I was hearing you talk about records yesterday, and I thought, I wonder how many people might have this record. It's quite nice, and has the biography, little synopsis about him in the back, and very interesting.
I have a copy I picked up at either a yard sale or a thrift store or something around here, and I'm pretty sure Taylor Cormier has one.
Okay, so we're probably the only three.
Right. It might just be us three, but I'm pretty sure there's at least three right there.
Good enough. Okay, I just wondered. I thought I'd just bring it up and let people know I have this.
I'll have to go through. So I have a whole bunch of records that are in my storage unit. I'll have to see if I can find it, and if I can, I'll digitize it, because I'm pretty sure I can get away with putting that up on our WBSM YouTube channel without anybody mm-hmm. Banging us for copyrights. So
yeah, I mean, for us, not for you particularly, but for the elderly people like myself that have been around for a lot of years, probably be very interested in hearing it.
And I did the same thing with somebody brought me the audio of Gil Santos calling the Holy Family Holy Name basketball championship. So we put that up on the internet and haven't heard anything back on that. So if we can get away with that, we can get away with Stan Lip.
Yeah, why not? Why not? You have a wonderful day, wonderful weekend, happy holidays.
You too. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I got to go to this break. Let me do that. When we come back, we'll have the news, and then we can take more calls, 508-996-0500.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes. Trusted. Local. Family. A gang crackdown in California, New York welcoming a right to die bill, and the top luxurious cities in the world.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Federal authorities have arrested 16 alleged members and associates of a Southern California street gang.
Prosecutors say the La Puente Bay street gang works by enriching itself in the Mexican Mafia prison gang by controlling drug distribution within its territory through violence, threats, and intimidation. They accuse the gang of carrying out shootings, a kidnapping, and large-scale drug trafficking across the San Gabriel Valley. KTLA reports police seized around 10 pounds of methamphetamine, thousands of pills containing fentanyl and carfentanil, 71 firearms, and roughly $9,500 in cash during their multi-year investigation. The defendants are facing multiple charges. I'm Sharon Reardon.
Nick Reiner appeared in a Los Angeles court yesterday, formally charged for the stabbing deaths of his parents. Prosecutors say the 32-year-old murdered Hollywood director Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle in their Brentwood home on Sunday. Nick Reiner appeared in a suicide prevention vest, and his defense lawyers have requested no cameras be allowed in the court. Outside, his key lawyer said that there are complex issues with the case, and he asked the media to avoid a rush to judgment. Nick Reiner is being charged with two counts of first-degree murder. His arraignment will be continued to January 7th. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has signed a controversial right-to-die bill, making physician-assisted suicide legal in New York. Law allows New Yorkers with incurable illnesses and less than 6 months to live to request medication to end their own lives.
We can finally give that choice and not have government stand in the way of a very deeply personal decision.
Three doctors have to sign off on it, and Hochul has said that lawmakers put in an additional guardrail that include a mental health evaluation, video of the patient requesting to die, and a five-day waiting period. She said it's a deeply personal decision that must be well-informed. The governor, who's Catholic, admits dealing with a lot of religious conflict over signing the Right to Die bill, but says she came to realize, quote, it's not about me, it's about 20 million New Yorkers. 12 states plus Washington, D.C. have similar measures. A Texas woman accused of putting razor blades into loaves of bread. The discovery was made at two Walmart stores in Biloxi, Mississippi. Police would not give any clues as to why they think Camille Benson did it. She's being charged with attempted mayhem. Her bond has been set at $100,000. Walmart, in a statement, thanked police and said that they have removed and thoroughly inspected all potentially affected products. Police say there were no injuries from that incident. A statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee is being replaced at the U.S. Capitol by a statue of a black teenager who fought segregation.
Dignitaries, including House Speaker Mike Johnson, were on hand Tuesday for the unveiling ceremony in the U.S. Capitol Visitor Center's Emancipation Hall. The statue depicts 16-year-old Barbara Rose Johns leading a 1951 student walkout in Farmville, Virginia, to protest substandard conditions at her racially segregated school. Historians say her protest helped lead the U.S. Supreme Court to declare segregation unconstitutional in its landmark decision, Brown v. Board of Education. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Cardiologists say that holiday heart syndrome is real and often triggered by excess alcohol consumption this time of the year. It involves cardiac complications that may include atrial fibrillation, which is when the heart is beating irregularly, often rapidly. It can also lead to fatigue, shortness of breath, dizziness, and in some cases, stroke. Research shows that there's an increase in deaths from heart-related issues between Christmas and New Year's. Aside from excess alcohol, frigid temperatures and holiday stress are also said to contribute to holiday heart syndrome. A new study naming Paris as the most luxurious place to live in the world. According to a study by online crypto casino JB that was shared with Travel and Leisure magazine, the City of Lights is home to more than 800 fine dining restaurants, more than 140 five-star hotels, and over 150 luxury stores. Paris was followed by the Australian city of Melbourne in the list. Cities in the U.S. listed as Miami, New York City, and Los Angeles, all in the top 10.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Bruins host the Oilers at the Garden tonight, 7 p.m., and the Celtics will be in action with the Heat tomorrow.
Now, your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Mostly sunny, dry, nice today, milder with a high near 50, clouding up tonight, rain after midnight, lows in the 40s. A wind advisory for Friday, a stormy day, gust of 45 to 55 miles per hour with widespread rain, heavy at times. Temperatures in the 50s during the morning, 40s during the afternoon. Windy, dry, colder for Friday night. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petraca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, and let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Good morning. You're probably familiar with the commercials that come on TV regarding gold and silver, purchasing gold and silver.
Yeah.
You've seen them, everybody. They come on all the time. What I'm wondering is that if you have, like, a collection, say, of silver American Eagles, I mean, where do you safely go to cash it in if you want to cash it in? Because right now, gold and silver is actually at one of its highest valuations, according to what I've heard on the radio and various other sources. They've gone through the roof. They're gold and silver. Because of their use, silver is used in a lot of the imprinting on the solar panels. It's in demand because it's a great conductor of electricity, probably the finest conductor of electricity known to man. And I don't know, but I mean, my brother left behind a coin collection with a lot of American silver eagles, and I've been wondering, I mean, where could I safely go to cash it in if I wanted to cash it in? I have no idea.
So my suggestion would be to call Chris McCarthy during his show, because he knows more about precious metals than I do. He's told me about them in the past, and I know that there's local people that he works with in regards to that. So I think he would probably have more information on it than I would.
Yeah, because I was thinking of burning an ad, and then I said, gee, I could end up getting killed. You know, somebody shows up that I don't know, claims they want to buy it, and then I end up getting robbed. You know, I don't think that would be a very good idea, you know?
Yeah, I know Chris works with the gentleman that has a shop in Fairhaven.
Yeah, so. I've called that guy. It's on Main Street down in the... my brother actually did some business with him. My brother was the coin collector, not me. And I've seen American Silver Eagles. The lowest price I've seen on TV is like $59.95 on some of those ads where they sell coins. And these are in excellent condition, so they got to probably even be worth more than that. But, I'll call Chris. Yeah, that's a good idea. He may know something about this.
Yeah, he's more of a precious metals person than I am. I mean, I have some coins myself that I inherited from my grandfather that my aunt was like, these are yours and you can do whatever you want with them. And I told her, I was like, just hang on to them, to them, and I'll get them from you later. Like, I don't want the responsibility. I don't want to even know about it now. So,
well, I'd love to know if like banks buy it, because I mean, I've heard of banks buying gold bars and silver bars, but, I don't know about coins, you know. I have no idea about that. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that. So on Halloween, when I took the day off, I was in Sandwich, and I went into a shop in Sandwich that was like an antique shop, but also they buy gold and silver. And as I was walking around the store looking at all the different stuff, I heard the shopkeeper talking with the people that were coming in to sell those, and he said kind of the same thing you did. You know, they're putting out more money for these things than they ever have, and so that's why people are coming in and selling them. But then what I was wondering was, well, then who's coming in to buy them if they know that they're, you know, at the highest point? They're going to wait for that to drop before they come in and buy it, so you're just going to be sitting on
but
that.
But it's sort of like, when you stop and think about it, it's sort of like stocks. Buy low, sell high, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to fluctuate, but the price of gold almost always goes up. Silver is a little more unstable, but because from everything I've read and heard, like, there's a shortage of silver right now because they've had to mine so much for the solar panels and other items they use silver for.
And plus, there's a lot of werewolves that they need to shoot with silver bullets. Yep. No, I'm teasing about that.
Yeah. Okay, I'll call Chris and see what he has to say about it.
All right, good luck with it.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
And let me take another call here before I got to go to a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. I was cleaning out my pocketbooks the other day, and I came across a $2 bill.
Now, that's pretty rare. I mean, there's still some places around that will keep those in the drawer, but for the most part, you know, you don't see them that much anymore.
Yeah, when I opened the pocketbooks, I'm like, well, let me clean this stuff out. And then I'm like, oh, wow, a $2 bill. I'm going to keep it anyway. I mean, it's only worth $2 anyway.
Right, and it's the novelty of it. Every once in a while, right. Like, I'll go to a place and like, I'll get a $2 bill in change, and I'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to hold on to this, and then I forget what I do with it, so. But
yeah, I even found a Kennedy's was a dollar, I think, mm-hmm. at that time. I have a couple of those.
Do you want to hear a funny story about $2 bills?
What?
So there was a gentleman's club on Cape Cod. That in Mashpee, that famously, when you went and had them make change for anything, they always gave you change in $2 bills, so that you had to use a $2 bill to give the girls rather than a $1 bill.
Oh, that's weird. So, that is funny.
So they were banks were like, where are all these $2 bills coming from? You walk into a bank on Cape Cod with a bunch of $2 bills to deposit, and they'd be like, I know where you've been.
Oh, I know. Isn't that crazy? Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Not that I ever went there, but I'm just saying.
Right, yeah. Well, I hope you and your family have a great holiday, and everybody be out there safe for the holidays.
You as well. Thank you. Take care.
You too.
And I got to get a break in here. Before I get to that break, though, you know, where your dollar, $2, dollar, whatever it may be, where you can get the most value for it is at the butcher shop, a real old school neighborhood market. 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, because when you walk into the butcher shop, you're getting quality products. So it's not like when you go, like, I can't even buy meat in the supermarket anymore. I look at it and I say, why am I going to pay $20 for a steak that looks like that when I've seen what a $20 steak looks like at the butcher shop, where it can be cut fresh in front of me, cut the way that I want it, and cut to my, you know, personal tastes, less fat, more fat, thicker, thinner, whatever I would like. And that's the beauty of going to the butcher shop. It's personalized service. If you don't know what it's like to go there, stop in. Stop in and just walk around. Take a look at some, buy yourself some celebrity pork chops. If you like pork, even if you don't like pork, get a celebrity pork chop because you've never had a pork chop like this before. It's literally a pork steak. You can cook it medium rare. It's insane how good it is. So when you go to the butcher shop and you see the difference, you're going to say, yes, at a time when I care about the kind of products that we're eating, but more than anything, I care about getting value for my dollar. You're going to find both at the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. All right, I got to get a break in here. We'll be back in a few moments.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family.
And welcome back in. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Tim, good morning. It's Barry Sylvia. How are you today, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. So, Tim, just so your listening audience understands what a Zoning Board of Appeals does, the Penaret is when they were moving the butcher shop on Dartmouth Street. Do you remember that far back?
No, I thought that it was in a different spot originally. I thought, wasn't it over near
Vasco da Gama,
right across the street, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times, Tim, I'll be Father Time for you. But what I'm saying is that when the Penarettas first came in, Mrs. Penaretta, she was the president of the bank, and Mr. Penaretta and their sons, Eric, and they came in front of us. And, you know, when you go into the butcher shop, the stairwell is in the middle of the store?
Yes.
So we worked with their attorney, Harold Perry, at the time. And it was our idea to basically, instead of having the stairwells, because you need an up and a down egress in case of fire, so instead of having them on the sides of the butcher shop, we put that in the middle of the butcher shop, so that way they could have the, you know, the deli and the meats all displayed properly, and then have refrigeration on the other side, because going down they'd have those great wines and Portuguese beers. So they're an integral part of our community. I shop there, and you're absolutely right. Where can you take a quality pork chop like the celebrity chops and cook them to what I like, a medium rare status? Is that how you like it?
You know, I never tried it that way until I got those celebrity chops and tried, and then I was hooked. I was like, I can't eat a pork chop any other way now.
cannot buy another pork chop, and they go and they slice it, and they tell you exactly how to cook it, if you're going to cook it outside or inside. I prefer, even in the wintertime, to continue cooking on my grill. And Eric and his brother and the Penarettas do a fantastic job. And I'm not getting paid for this commercial, but I just wanted to let your listening audience know what a Zoning Board of Appeals, what they do as a body. I'm not there any longer, but I, you know, under in Dan Romanowitz, and they do a great job at the Zoning Board of Appeals. But in an effort to continue to get the most out of any square foot building that we can, that's what the Zoning Board of Appeals does, Tim.
Well, sounds good. Thank you so much for the information.
Thank you.
You have a good day. And I got to get one more break in here before the end of the hour. Let me do that right now so we don't miss it. We'll be right back. And don't forget, tomorrow from 4 to 6 is Stevie's Wine and Spirits Holiday Mini Tasting. They're going to have all kinds of different stuff for you to come by and try. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a lot of fun over there. I'll be over there trying and sampling some stuff with you. So come on by Stevie's Wine and Spirits tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m. and enjoy the holiday mini tasting. And anything that you are tasting will be 10% off tomorrow. So it's a great place and a great time to find great gifts for your loved ones or maybe a gift for yourself. And even if you're just going to stop in and get a Stevie's Wine and Spirits gift card, which makes a great gift for the drink lover in your life, well, come by tomorrow from 4 to 6 so you can sample some things while you're stopping in to get your gift card. So all kinds of things will be on the tables for you to taste and learn about.